All right, well, let's turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. We've been in a series since New Year's called Your Race. We're going to continue there. I believe, we'll see. I'm going to think we're going to get into some things today. I thought I would have got into 5 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago. I don't know. I had them on there. And just couldn't get to them. You know, you can try to force things out, but if it's just me talking, you don't want to hear me talking. If you've never preached, if you've never ministered the Word of God under an anointing, you can't just say what you want. You can, just like you can do anything. God doesn't force you to do anything, but if you're going to flow with Him and He's not going to a certain place, you can't just spit it out. You know what it'd be like? Go nowhere. It won't have any effect because it's not me. If I'm flowing with Him, then it's His unction. I'm flowing with the Holy Spirit, what He wants to get out. He uses human vessels, but you have to connect with Him. It's the same in every area. If you're in music, you can't just do what you want to do, go where you want. Yeah, you might sing the songs, but you know, you gotta flow with Him. And there's an anointing in every area. No matter where you're on your job, in the secular workplace, just when you're working with toddlers or children, or you need to be as sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing in any area and flow with the anointing that's on you, because it's not about what we know or our abilities, but it's about Him. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look at it on your sheet in the New Living Translation. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding the shame, or its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." So He said, and we've talked about these things, but just quickly, in review, He's talking about in verse 1, He's the crowd of witnesses, or cloud of witnesses, and it says in the New King James, that He's referring to are the people that He's talking about in Hebrews 11, where He's talking about all these people that have run their race already. They're in heaven. You understand, they can't do anything more here on the earth. They're done. Their time is past. But they ran their race while they were here, and they're witnesses to the life of faith. We're the ones now that are running our races here. It says, let us, because of all these witnesses, it said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by this huge crowd of witnesses, let us strip off the weights that slow us down, or weight that slows us down, every weight, especially sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We said we have a race. It's not our neighbor's race. It's not your mom's race, not your dad's race, not your best friend's race, not the guy on TV's race. It's yours. God gave you something to do, gave me something to do. You have certain abilities and talents, and we're to just put the blinders on and run in our lane. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't worry about what gifts and talents you have relative to somebody else. It doesn't matter because it's your race. You're not running against anybody else. You're running in one lane for what God has asked you to do. And it's very important to understand this because people get tripped up all the time. Well, I don't have this. I can't sing like so and so, or I'm not good at math like so. So I mean, whatever. And they get tripped up. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And get down to business doing it. And know that that's how we fulfill our call is just by doing what He told us to do. What He told us to do. And if we'll do that, that's the definition of success. If you've done what God has told you to do, at the end of your life, that's when you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not about what the world would call success. If the Lord God Almighty, we sang about it, the Almighty, creator of the universe, asked you to do something and you did that, what is a man to say, well, you didn't do the right thing? Who would know better than Him? And if you did what He told you to do, what is there that would be a higher accomplishment? Well, you might have done that, but you didn't do such and such. Yeah, but what did He ask you to do? If He didn't ask you to do something over here, and He asked you to do this first thing, and you did that, well, you're successful. It doesn't work the other way. Men might look at, do you understand you could do something in the natural and do something that men would give accolades to, and yet it be the wrong thing? And it look wildly successful even in the Christian realm, and it be absolutely the wrong thing to do? Man will say, well, how can that be possible? It's all about obedience and doing what He told you to do. You that have children know this, right? If you tell your child to do something, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but if you had kids, this would probably happen. You asked them to do something, and they did something else, and they say, well, did you do this? I asked you, no, but I did such and such. And it could be good. And they're saying, but I did that. Doesn't that kind of offset the fact that I didn't do what you tell? No. No, it doesn't. I asked you to do this. And that's something you have to teach them, right? It's nice that you did this, but it's actually rebellion. You didn't do what I told you to do. This is what I asked you to do. And how many of you know if you're asking multiple people to do something and they all kind of do their own thing and come back, it's not going to work. Right? Well, that's exactly what God's doing. He's saying, you do this, you do this, you do this. And He sees the big picture, we don't. Amen. And we say, well, I want to do what this person's doing, or I want to do, and then it just all gets jumbled up and people understand why it doesn't work. It's not that hard. It's just doing what He told us to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those, let's just go ahead and look on your sheet, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now look at the words He's using here. Not going to go through all this again, but we've touched on these things. These build on each other. So we're at a certain point. We're going to review a little bit. We're going on because we've covered some of these things in depth. So if you didn't hear the messages or missed one or two, go back and listen to them, because we can't possibly, obviously, review everything in every service, but we're building so that we can get further today. But notice He said that men, even people that are doing athletics, they're temperate in all things. That means they're disciplined. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Verse 26, therefore I run this, not with uncertainty. In other words, he's not just doing something to do it. Well, I'll try this. I'm not saying you have to, depending on where you are in your Christian walk and where you are in hearing the voice of God, God is going to lead you in accordance with that. He can communicate with us at our level. And as you start out, things could be, you're going to get involved in something. As you get going, God's going to direct you further. But as you go further and further, it's not going to be just uncertain, like you could do anything and it's okay. There's certain things that you're called to do. And we're expected to grow as we, just like we do in the natural. You don't expect a 3-year-old to operate the same way as a 15-year-old, do you? Certainly not the way a 35-year-old or 40-year-old would operate. We're supposed to develop, right? Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Supposed to. You don't expect the same things out of a 3-year-old as you do a 15-year-old, a first grader, the same thing as you do somebody that's about to graduate from high school. Hopefully, we've grown up. Hopefully, we can understand that a little bit further, but we're supposed to be not running just with uncertainty, not knowing what to do. We're supposed to be running with purpose. He said, "Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." We talked about that a few weeks ago. Notice that discipline. Paul's saying, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection underneath so I make it do what I want to do. What's he making it do? What he's called to do, and he's doing that on purpose. He's not doing it with uncertainty. Can you see that? He has a purpose. He's doing it on purpose, and he's making himself do things maybe would not be his first choice to do. In other words, you don't get the picture of just somebody doing whatever and that's okay. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 9:24. "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training." We talked about that some, but you can clearly see people that are training for a sport. You know, if you're training for a marathon, training for a competition, you don't just do whatever you want to do. I mean, you can do that, but you're not going to reach your goal. If you have a goal, if you have something in front of you to do, then there are certain things you need to go through, and it involves discipline. It says they are disciplined in their training. They do it for a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So this picture that he's painting, you've talked about it some. We talked about, you know, the way an athlete goes about certain things. But it's not this picture of somebody that it doesn't matter what we do, that it's okay to do anything. See, God is a merciful and gracious God. He is. But he also, and he will work with us where we're at, okay? But he also expects us to grow. Just like you could be a merciful and gracious parent or grandparent. But you know, if a child is 10 and still acting like a 2-year-old, you're not doing that child any favors to let him act like that. Right? If you truly love them, there comes a time where, appropriate for their age, they need to move on. Otherwise, it's going to hurt them in life. And if you think, well, I just don't want to be hard on them, well, life's going to be hard on them. You know, they're going to wake up one day and realize that the world doesn't center around them. Other people are not going to be so patient. And actually, when we find out we've done a disservice, well, don't you know that God is the ultimate Father? Isn't he? He is love. Well, love is not, well, you just do whatever and it's okay. No, if something's going to hurt one of your children, love stops them and inserts and tells them, don't do that. That's going to hurt you. Yeah, but I want to. Want to has nothing to do with it. If it's going to hurt you and I love you, I would step in and help you to see. See, that's not God being hard. That's God being loving. And like I said, he deals with people where they're at. He doesn't deal with everybody the same. Now, he's just and fair and he applies the same rules, but just like, again, if you have children, you don't deal with them all exactly the same. If there's an individual that you're dealing with, and let's say you're over an organization or over a group, and they don't ever, they're always behaving just in line, always have a heart to do everything right, and they make a mistake and they did it unintentional, do you throw the book at them and just get on their case? Now, what if it's the 15th time somebody's done something and they're doing it boldly and they just blow you off, are you going to deal with that person differently than the first? Would you maybe be more stern and say, look, pal? Huh? Does that mean you're just so mean? No, you're dealing with them differently because that's what they need. They obviously, you being really soft with them is not helping. But see, people, that's not, so when we're talking about these, I say that to say this. When we're talking about these things and these things we're getting into, people, and the enemy will accommodate you. When you listen, the enemy will try to say, well, that's just hard. God's not, you know, he's not a hard God. Well, he's a loving and gracious God, but he wants the best for us. And so there is a part, these verses that we just read, both in Hebrews and in 1 Corinthians, again, do they give the picture of something that's just real loose and you can do whatever you want, or is it defined in a purpose and something that you do with discipline? It's clearly the latter. And that's the Bible, right? It's the Word of God. Paul is telling us how to live his life. Now go over to live the Christian life. Go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Everybody there, of course, it's on your sheet too. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, verse 1, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, with all these things we have talked about, he's saying here, enduring hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, we could say, we're not talking about, and I don't have time to go into all this, although we could touch on some things. When the Bible talks about, there is suffering in the Word of God. Okay? We're going to see a little bit of it. But it's not talking about anything that Jesus has redeemed us from. Okay? Jesus has redeemed us. All the things that are under the curse of the law, the things you've been redeemed from. If you go back and look at Deuteronomy 20, look at the blessings and the cursing. The Bible says, Galatians 3:13, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So we're not to put up with things that he's already paid for. Okay, we don't have to put up with sickness and disease, all forms of death. We'll put it that way. Relationship problems are a form of death. It's death in a relationship. Poverty is a form of death. God has redeemed us from poverty. We don't need to be without everything we need. And as we know who we are in Jesus, we come up. We don't need to be sick physically. God, that is, doesn't do anybody any good for you to be sick. Doesn't help. And not helping anybody. And Jesus already paid for it. So when we talk about suffering, people have If you look at all the places, and we're not, like I said, we're not studying that today, but there's a difference between what Jesus has bore and then things that you deal with because you're following Him and you're doing what He told you to do. And there is a suffering. You can just see it in the verses we already read. You could put it this way. When you tell your flesh to do something it doesn't want to do, you suffer. When you're doing it because of the call of God, that's suffering. When you're doing it for other people, you're suffering. You're doing something because God told you. Let me ask you a question. Did Paul go through anything as he was preaching the gospel? But he wasn't suffering sickness and disease. I don't have time to get into that. If he was as sickly as some people think, there's no way that he gets up after being left for dead, or probably was dead, and gets up and is preaching the next day somewhere. And then goes through all this stuff. I mean, it's like you take a triathlete times however many to go through the stuff that he's going through. He is not, you know, wobbly and sick, no. But he did go through some stuff. Why? To preach the gospel. He didn't go through things that Jesus redeemed him from. But when you look at these words here, and look at the words above, when you look at enduring hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, what picture does it give when you're talking about a soldier? Do you think our soldiers go through, our soldiers that are in our military, you think they go through anything that they don't actually want to do? Why are they doing that? They're doing it to serve you and I, serve you and me. They're doing it to preserve our freedom. It's not like they get up every morning, they love in and of themselves. I'm sure there's days they would much rather turn on a football game and sit back in a lazy boy, but that's not what they are going to be doing that day, right? Well, you're putting your flesh down. You're telling it, no, we're going to do this. Why? Because it's your orders. Because that's your position. Well, the body of Christ is like this. God has given each person a thing, something to do. And though it's optional in the sense that you and I have a free will, I mean, you don't have to serve God. You don't have to be born again. There are blessings, though, and consequences for any decision we make. And as we're serving Him in this life, if you're going to run the race He set before you, then you will need to change. I have to change. And change isn't always comfortable. You guys are energetic, I can tell. I told you. I mean, we're getting into this. This is stuff that we just keep taking some runs at it, but we're here now. This is not something our flesh wants to hear. But if we're going to run the race God has told us to, or has for us, He's going to keep growing us up and bringing us along, and He is going to use us to the maximum that we'll allow ourselves to be used. But you and I, even though you have potential and you have an ultimate call, we all have a call of some sort to do. We're not all called to the fivefold ministry, but everybody has something God ultimately has for us to do. But He doesn't ask you to do it necessarily tomorrow. But the potential's there, but there's probably steps you're going to need to take. Just like if you take somebody in school, just because a first grader has the potential to do calculus doesn't mean you can do calculus, right? In fact, you throw calculus in front of a first grader, probably just color on it. You know, I mean, what is this? They have no clue what it is, right? But the potential's there. But to run the race that God has put in front of us, there is going to be some of this. I mean, what's He telling Timothy? It's in black and white. He says, endure hardship as a good soldier. As a soldier that we're supposed to get up, we're supposed to do what God would have us to do, So God has called us to do something that is going to require us. I'm not saying life is hard. It shouldn't be hard. We should enjoy life. We should enjoy every day. We should get up and be thanking God. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. Do you realize that in itself, when you praise God in the face of something, you want to crawl, you just want to go back to bed, you don't want to look at it. When you praise God, you're putting your flesh down. Your flesh wants to say something else, and you're saying, no, thank you, God, that you're going before me. You're helping me. And you do what He would have you to do. Sometimes it's just getting up and coming to church. And if you're not used to coming to church, your flesh will rebel. It will. Well, I don't want to get up. I'd rather go back to sleep. Why do I have to do that? Well, that's just one example. But if we're going to reach what God has for us, there are going to be many of these things where we are going to have to decide to do what He would have us to do rather than what we would want to do. Now, I'm not saying life is supposed to be joyless and hard. But it also isn't supposed to be like, well, it just doesn't matter. It's not like that. You wouldn't use the word soldier if it were just like whatever. What picture does that give? That means there is something to do, a job to be done. And Paul is using that saying, you endure hardness. You endure things that maybe aren't comfortable as a soldier. And this is, in our day and age, it's not popular for us to talk like this because people just, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that I have to do anything that I don't want to do. Jesus wouldn't ask me to do something I don't want to do. You read the Bible? No, it wouldn't be hard, ever. I'm not saying you can't go through it. I'm not saying you don't have the strength. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. But there's also a lot of the scriptures, some of which we're reading right now, that talk about us dealing with some stuff. And a mature believer, the more mature we get, we're going to deal with certain things. And you're going to have to put your flesh down and say, I'm doing it. I'm going on with God. You know how Jesus prayed in the garden? He said, not my will, but yours be done. What does he say? Jesus, the Son of God, walking on the earth, his flesh is recoiling at the thought of going to the cross. Wouldn't yours? But he did it, and he's our example. He's the one that's out in front of us. He, for the joy that was set before him, went to that cross. Amen. And so we have a course to run, a race to run out in front of us. And this, like we mentioned before, this is where following God and doing what He would have us to do and being a Christian where Jesus is Lord. What does it mean if somebody is your Lord? It means that they determine what you do. Right? Yes. And in this world, like we've said, it's not popular for you to say, follow something else. It's more, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? You can do anything you want to do. Whatever your heart desires, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. That's not Bible. The part about you can do anything, you can do anything that God has asked you to do. See, part of it is, once you know what He would want you to have you to do, the part about I can do attitude, that's Bible. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but not to do anything you want to do. That's not true. That's where people get into trouble. So, the part about you do what God asks you to do, and you're accountable to Him for your life, and you're accountable to Him to make decisions on what He's asked you to do, not your plan, not your idea of what you want to do with your life, but you take your life, put it under Him, and say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do. And part of that today, if you want me to, as I follow your plan, what you have me to do, I'll do it. I'll submit to you, and I'll run. Even if I don't understand exactly what I'm doing for this part of my life, I'll do it. That is foreign to the modern way of thinking. Because it is so much, I'll do what I want to do. That's what, when we're talking about being a servant of God, yeah, we're children of God, but we put our, there's two things, two parts of us. There's the child part. We are children of God. We have rights and privileges through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you're also a servant if you're going to follow Him. And these two are two different parts, and we've talked about that. You don't earn anything on the child side. You've been blessed through what Jesus has done. Because you're in the family, you have certain rights and privileges. You can't earn them. You couldn't make them happen. But then there are what He asks us to do as a servant in the kingdom of God. Now, you don't earn anything by being a servant. In other words, regardless of your position in the body of Christ, you have certain abilities, certain privileges as a child, just because you're in the family. But then, as you run your race, He's going to ask you to do something serving the kingdom of God. And by you doing that, you don't earn the parts that are already given to you, but you are serving the Almighty. Putting your wants aside and deciding to serve Him, humbling yourself and saying, not my will, but yours be done, Lord, because you've asked me, I'm going to do such and such. Let's read 1 Peter. Let's just look at it on your sheet for the sake of time. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. We could stop right there and preach the next 3 days on that. That's not popular. It has not been taught. Kids think they can do whatever they want. You know, authority, what? I don't have to do anything for anybody. I know that's a wrong way of looking at it that gets kids in trouble. But it's not just kids. It's people do not want to submit. Our flesh does not want to submit. That means submit means to put yourself under. Likewise, the younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Notice that. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Let's read the rest of it. We'll maybe come back. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Notice that. What does that say? Notice that the same what? Sufferings. Well, these guys didn't know they're redeemed. Huh? No, there is sufferings, but what's he talking about? You can see it in context, what he's talking about just above. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There is so much here. Go back to verse 5. It says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to who? The humble. The humble. The humble is being real. The humble is being real with what you know, what you don't know. It's not putting on airs. It's saying, God, you know better than I do. If there's somebody more gifted in the room, you acknowledge it. On the other hand, if you're the most gifted person in the room, somebody said like this, you know, if you were the foremost expert on some area, and somebody were to ask you in a room full of dignitaries, are you the expert in this? It would be false humility for you to say no. It would actually be humble for you to say, yes, I am. Why? It's true. It's not arrogance if it's true. Your pride might want to shy away from that and say, well, no, I'm not. But that's not true. You know, Moses, he wrote the part in the Bible where it said, now Moses was the meekest person on the face of the earth. That was Moses writing that. He wrote that. He said, yes, I'm the most humble person on the earth. Most people would say that's pride. Well, it's not. That's humility. But God gives grace to the what? The humble. As we say, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what you want me to do. That's humility. Well, but you don't understand it. That has nothing to do with it. If he understands it, that's good enough for me. I'm going to do what he said to do. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. If he's asking you to do a certain thing, part of your race, you're running in your lane, and he asks you to do a step, your flesh may say, I don't want to do that. I don't understand why I should do that. That's not fun. I don't like that person. I don't want to work with them. You want me to go help that person? You want me to give what? You want me to do that in front of that many people? Why? I don't like to get up in front of people. You want me to move there? See, your flesh and your mind, if it's not renewed, will have come up with all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't do what God has asked you to do. And humility will say, not my will, but yours be done. I'll do what you would have me to do. I'll do it. You think about a soldier. If a soldier is given orders, it's not his job to say, I don't know if that's a good idea. That's not the job. Well, I'll think about it. It's not the way it works. Well, you know, let me understand the big picture, and then I'll see if it's a good idea. That's not what you're called to do. That's not what the job description is. It's to do it, right? Is that what we read? As a soldier, endure hardness, endure hardship. If there's something that's hard, are we supposed to say, well, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go do something else. You don't have a choice. If you're going to follow God, you don't have a choice. You have a choice. You can walk away. You can sit down. We can all sit down at any time and say, I don't want to follow God. I don't want to do what he's called me to do. I want something that's easy. Like I said, life isn't supposed to be hard all the time, but I've walked with God enough, and you can read it in the Bible, and I've followed enough men and women of God to see if you're going to walk with God, there are going to be things where you get pushed to where you're going to have to decide, am I going to follow him or not? And it's not easy. You're not going to always understand everything. I'm not going to always understand everything, but we're not, that's not that's not the point, that we understand it until we understand. I mean, you've probably lived through certain things to where you understand it in retrospect. We say hindsight's 20/20. You get to the place where you, oh, that's what he was doing. But if you look at just what you can see now, you say, well, there's no point. Sometimes. So what are we going to do then? Well, I don't like this. I'm going to go do something else. You know, that's what a lot of people do. I don't like it. I'm going to do something else. See, we'll miss out on what God is doing in our lives. I'm not saying this is why you have to emphasize. He's not bringing stuff in that he's redeemed us from. But if we think he won't grow us up, that's not Bible. He doesn't use the curse to do it. There's the world. There's enough fallen things in this world. But your flesh and you stripping off stuff, like it said in Hebrews, that doesn't help us, that's not fun. But that's also, that has nothing to do with the devil. Did you hear me? It might feel like it's the devil, but your flesh, you putting your flesh down, it doesn't feel good. But the enemy, you know what he's trying to get you to do? Rebel. If anything, he wants you to go with your flesh. Because if it's against God, that's where he's going to be. Because he's the father of rebellion. Who rebelled against God, thought he could take God out? But that's the spirit that's in the world that wants you to do what you want to do. But we have to have a different mindset. We have to get the mindset that I'm not mine. I've been bought with a price. Is that not what the Bible says? I don't get to choose. Did you hear me? You guys with me or not? You see why it took us a while to get here? This is not supposed to be hard. This will set us free. This is not supposed to be. So see, people will run away from what we're talking about here and say, "Well, I'm not gonna look at those scriptures. Forget it." And go to something that wants that'll tickle your ears and say, "Oh, well, everything, you know, no matter what you do, you're gonna be blessed and whatever." That's not true. God has blessed us, but if God says you come over here and you think you're going to rebel and go over here and have the same life, you won't. Anybody that tells you different is distorting the gospel. It's not true. It's a lie because think about it just like this. If God tells you, son, daughter, I need you to be over here, then you know what's there? The provision, the blessing, everything you need to succeed is there. Let's just use the example that Paul's saying. As a soldier, let me ask you a question. If the people above you and you're in the military have decided they're going to do an operation over in this part, and all the supply and all the support and all the protection is here in this area, and you decide you don't want to go with that, you're going to go over in this area. Have they paved the way for you? Is there the support? Is there all the supply where you're going? No. We're supposed to be like soldiers. See, people don't want to hear this. Now, I'm just telling you, this is the truth. We're reading Bible, right? They want to hear, and our ears want to hear, it doesn't matter what we do. Now, you don't get legalistic with it. God is a merciful and gracious God, but we're talking about if he tells you to do this and you say, I'm doing this, we've already aligned ourselves with the enemy because you're listening to him. He's causing you to rebel. And so we say, I'm going to be over here. God, in as much as he can, he's going to bless us. But if we yield to the wrong thing, if we yield and decide I'm not going to do what he's asking me to do, I don't want to do it, he will do everything he can But we ourselves have set by our actions and by our words, we've yielded to the wrong thing. We set ourselves up exactly this verse in context is talking about exactly what we are saying here is talking about resisting the devil. He is going to push us to get us out of what God has called us to do. It says, you resist the devil. Let's read it. God resists the proud. Let me ask you right there. If God asks us to do something and we say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go do this. Is that pride? Yes. And what happens then? God says he resists that. But he gives grace to the humble. If we say, yes, sir, that's not what I want to do, that's not my first choice, but at your word, Lord, I yield myself to you. That's humility. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that what? That he may exalt you in due time. See, we want everything yesterday. It's not moving fast enough for me. It's not going fast enough for me. Don't we? I want to understand. He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon. Now we quote that verse, and it's good. Just in general, talking about casting your care on the Lord, we ought to. But look at the context it's talking about. It's saying, you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Cast your care about all the stuff you don't understand, about what you think, all your questions, about what you think, what if this, I don't want to do this, on him, for he cares for you. Now notice it in context. He cares for you. So you may not see everything that's coming up ahead. It may not be as fast as you want it to be, but you cast your care of all your questions. You don't understand exactly why this, why that, why you having me to do this, when, on him, why? Because he cares for you. You know what it comes down to that? Lord, you care for me. Lord, you wouldn't ask me to do anything that's not for my good. It's going to be for the glory of your kingdom, but it's also never going to harm me. It may feel hard, but Lord, anything that you ask me to do, I can do, and I'm going to come out stronger. And we're not talking about stuff that Jesus bore. We're talking about us growing, us changing, us coming up, us doing things that our flesh doesn't want to do, us being pushed out of our comfort zone. All that is not fun. But how many of you have ever done something you did not want to do at the time, and you went through something, but a skill, something you did in school, it was hard, but when you got past it, you look back and said, I'm glad I learned that. I'm better for it. It wasn't easy, but I'm glad I know it now. Huh? It didn't, you know, if you've ever exercised in a certain way, it didn't feel good. But after you've done it a while, hey, you're glad you're on the other side. You don't want to do it again, but you're glad from where you are, right? Yeah. Well, if we can see that in the natural, how many of you know that that's God knows these things, and he sees where you're at, and he sees where you need to be, and there's a difference. Well, how is it going to change? Well, I just wanted to snap my fingers, and then I'm there. We'd all love that. Boom, we're a different person. We see the world differently. Well, how are you going to get there? I'm not talking about doing stuff in your own strength. I'm talking about we look at God and say, Lord, do you want me to do that? Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. I need your strength. Lord, I'm doing this because you told me to do it. Now, I expect you to help me, but what does it say? His grace. He gives grace to the humble. Lord, I can't do this alone. I need you to help me. Guess what that is? Humility. We're not talking about you with your moral muscles saying, well, I'm going to do it. I'm super Christian. I'll do it. I'll get it. No. We're saying, Lord, that is the last thing I want to do. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. Because you care for me. Because you have good things for me. I believe it. I believe that this is a good path. I may have to change. I don't want to change, but here we go. And that won't happen just once in our life. Huh? Not going to happen just once. Because that would imply we just have one thing to get rid of. Huh? What did Hebrews say? Strip them all off. And we're not talking about God being hard on us. You have to keep balancing this because people got, either they're over in the ditch in thinking they can do nothing and God's a hard God, and if anything, you even just go in the direction about they have to do anything, they're flighty. They're like gone. I can't take it. That's works. I can't do it. That's not the Bible. You will never grow if we or think like that. And then, you got people that are either so far in the ditch of thinking they have to do everything and it's all about them and forget anything that God might help, or we have people that think it does not matter what I do because God, it's all God. And both of them are, neither one of them are right. The fact is, God is going to ask us to do things. We're going to have to submit our will, and He's going to give us the strength to do it. See, there's a God side, and there's a man side. He gives us the free will to submit to Him. He gives us the free will to act on His word. And it comes down to faith. Do we believe Him? If He said it, and He said He'd take care of us, do we trust Him? Do we trust Him? In any situation, it comes. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Well, when you are doing something you don't understand, you don't see how, you don't want to do, and I'm not saying all of it has to be in one segment, but on any of those axes, and yet you're going to do it. Why? Because God said it. That's faith. And you know what? That pleases Him. And it's humility. You're saying, Lord, at Your word, I'm going to do it. I'm going to change. I've had this thing for 15 years, but You're going to help me. Here we go. That's humility. And what did God say? He gives grace to the humble. Guess what? You have the grace of God, you can do anything. We can do anything. That's not the easiest path, but it's a rewarding path. Jesus was our example. If we think it was easy for Him to go to the cross, we're mistaken. But look where we are because of Him. Look what He's done for us. He has many people in the family because He went to the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Casting all care on Him then. Well, that would be an act of faith. That would be an act of faith. Lord, I don't see how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And on top of that, I'm not going to worry about it. In other words, I'm not going to go through it and be like, well, okay, I'll do it. You're going to help me, but man, I'm going to let everybody else know that this is hard. I am obeying God. I'm obeying God. Yep, I'm disciplining myself. I'm obeying Him. Look at me. That's not God either. God is not down. You're a spiritual. See, spiritual doesn't look like this. Man, I'm spiritual. I'm serious about God. Yes? That's not spiritual. If everybody, the Bible said, if you're going to fast, don't let everybody know you're fasting. Dress up so it looks like you're having a party. Huh? No, we're not supposed to go through that. I don't think Paul was all down. Well, you know, I've been beat up again yesterday. But here I am. I'm preaching you guys. Come on, turn up. You know, open the scriptures. Here we go. I don't think he was that way. He's the one that said, rejoice. Always. Huh? So if you cast your care, you say, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey You. And I'm not going to worry about it. Not going to be easy, but here we go. And I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to cast the care onto you, and we're going to go through, and I'm going to come out shining on the other side. I know that anything you put ahead of me, I can take, because you said I wouldn't be tempted beyond what I could bear. I know you're not trying to harm me. You've asked me to do this because you have my good in mind. So I'm going to go forward. I'm going to cast all the care, all the questions, all the wonderings, all the anxiety on you, and I'm going to enjoy it. I don't enjoy the fact that I have to put my flesh down, but I'm going to enjoy life because I don't get this part to do over. I don't get to fast forward to the part where I'm past it and go, well, that wasn't, you know, it wasn't great, but here I am. I'm going to say by faith, I will make it there. I'm going to look back. By faith, I see myself standing there looking back going, God's grace, He helped me through that, and here I am, and I am more able to do what He's called me to do, and I'm going to keep moving on for Him. Amen. See, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live with Him in our race, just going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, going up, getting stronger, getting more full of His strength and His power. We know we have a history. We have a track record. We go back and say, yep, that was hard. I know how I felt there, but He brought me through. And then there is this that was hard, and I didn't know how, and it was like, what? I don't want to do that. But I said, God, you're going to help me, and He brought me through. And now we start to gain momentum. This is how we are supposed to run with Him. Stronger. Glory to God. We just gain steam. Yes. Amen.